Good morning. Let's all get out our Bibles or our electronics or whatever we're using. We're looking up here and go to Genesis chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 31 and we're going to go to Genesis 12:5. I got a question for you before we start. What are you willing to settle for? What's that point in your life? Please follow along with me. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for those that are here today. Father, and I just pray as we examine this morning, this message that you've laid on my heart, that we came here with a purpose. We came here expecting an encounter with the living God, and we came expecting to be blessed by you and expecting your presence. And Father, I just invite you to come and to lead this. Father, open our hearts and our minds to you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Now, Terah decided, or he intended to go to Canaan, but he settled in Haran. And upon his death, God spoke to Abram, his son, and told him, "Go to the land that I will show you." You know, for all of us, when we begin this journey of following Christ, the goal is always the promised land. That's where we set out for. But most of us settle in Haran. We don't make it all the way. We get fatigued from the journey. We grow old. We get disillusioned. We get tired of the long, harsh trip, the long, harsh journey. We set up comforts for ourselves in this life, and we're not sure how far away this promised land is. And we grow comfortable just short of Canaan. And that's where we settle. And then when we die, we never see the land that God had promised. Somewhere along the way, we lost our heart for the journey. We lost our will. We took our eyes off the prize and fell short. We just settled for less faith than the one who leads us. You see, we don't lose our faith entirely, but we just settle for less. We left Ur. We got as far as Haran, and we just didn't make it to Canaan. And that's the temptation of every follower of Jesus Christ. For Terah and Abram, it was geographical as well as spiritual. But for most of us, it'll just be spiritual. Now, sure, some of you will be called. God will call you into a ministry. He'll call you to pack up and move. But you just won't have the spirit. You won't have the faith to get up and move. But for all of us, it's a spiritual journey, and that's what I want to focus on this morning. See, it works like this. You ask Jesus into your heart, not because you're smart or you're good. You see, you can't respond to God unless he first reveals himself to you. And that's called grace. So then God speaks to you. Maybe in a storm in your life, maybe through a through a message or a friend, maybe a family member, but God speaks and you sense it, you hear Him. And all of a sudden you realize the condition that you're in. You're separated from God, whatever that means. And you know you need God in your life, so you pray to receive Jesus Christ. At that moment, you're born again from heaven. You're a new man. You've changed. Now, I don't want anyone to tune me out and think this message is just for the unsaved, because it's not. It's for every one of us here today, me included. I'm talking to each and every one of you, the young, the old, the saved, the unsaved. You see, once you follow, you begin this journey of following Christ, you've identified yourself as a Christian. Then you're called to pick up and go to a land that God will reveal to you. If you're not careful, you'll grow weary in the desert of life, and you'll settle for less than what God's intended for you. You'll settle in Haran instead of going to Canaan. God calls you to Canaan. Now, there's one thing I have to make perfectly clear. I'm not talking about heaven here. When you receive Jesus Christ by faith, your name was eternally inscribed in the book of life. You're promised your place in heaven. But every step you take through the desert of this life is evidence of your salvation and your service to God. You see, God promises us things in this life. He doesn't promise us it's always going to be easy, but He promises it will be better. Because whatever God wants to give us is better than what we have on our own. But you see, sometimes we grow weary and we lose sight and we don't make it clear to what God has promised us. We fall short. And we settle for less than all God has to give. The problem is most Christians have stopped looking for Canaan a long time ago. They're willing to settle with where their life's at. You know, it's a curse for us to grow comfortable, because then we just want to sit. We don't want to stir our lives up to go where God wants us to go, either physically or spiritually, because sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid of what we might face. And we forget the one who leads us is the one who comforts us and supplies our needs and gives us the ability and the strength to accomplish what He's called us to do. Perhaps, maybe the best way to give you an example is with romance. Sounds funny coming from me if you ask my wife. I'm not romantic, but still. You know, God created romance. You know, men messed it up, but God created it. Now think about a couple in love. How they spend endless hours in conversation. And when they're apart, all they can think about is getting back together. And they're always thinking about each other. And what about a soldier when he has to go away from home? He's called into service. He goes overseas or whatever base he's called to. All he can think about is the ones that he left behind. How he cherishes the letters, the emails, the FaceTime on the computer. And he counts the days until his deployment's over and he gets to come back home to his loved ones. That's how God wants you to yearn for Him. He wants you to be like those lovers that can't stand their time apart, that all they can think about is getting back together, about that soldier that counts the days till he can be with his family again. That's the kind of love and the yearning that'll carry you through the desert times in your life, those hard times. But most believers fall short of that. They grow comfortable in their love of God. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 2. He said, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have patience, and have labored in my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Like the church today, they have done a lot of great work. Like most churches today, they let their love grow cold. See, these words of Christ, they're the ones that we should follow. He didn't neglect to acknowledge their work or show gratitude for it, but he is concerned about their love. And that's how love should be in us. Jesus is concerned about our love. You see, we can do good things for church, for God's church. We can do it for a little while. But unless you live your life actively pursuing the love of Christ, strengthening your love, it'll grow cold and you'll grow weary. God calls you to a land that he's going to show you. We settle in Haran. We're settling for less than what God wants to give. Think about one of the names that God gives his church, the Bride of Christ. What comes to your mind? What do you envision when I say the word bride? I know for most of us, we think of a beautiful woman, a beautiful lady in a white gown. Maybe the groom and the bride looking longingly in each other's eyes. We think about a wedding. You know, even in this fallen world, that's the image that most people conjure up of a beautiful bride and her adoring, or a beautiful bride and her adoring groom. Let's look at what the Holy Spirit said the Apostle John in Revelation 19. Verse 5, he said, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of the great multitude, as a sound of many waters and as a sound of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, bright, or clean and bright. For the fine linen is a righteousness act of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. The greatest wedding that we can envision pales in comparison to the wedding of the bride and her groom of Christ. See, following Jesus requires walking through those desert times, but not all the time. Remember the destination that God calls us to. He's promised us something great. The time we walk through the dry places, his word tells us he'll provide streams in the desert. At the times we walk over beautiful hills, we need to remember our destination and not grow content and complacent. Following Jesus is more like a wedding feast and not like a funeral procession, as some of us see it. Some of us say, I'll follow Christ, but not through the desert. I'll join Jesus at the party, and I'll dance with him on top of the mountain, but I want nothing to do with the valleys in the desert. I have better things to do than that. I'll wait right here till Jesus goes through it, and then I'll join him on the other side. May we think maybe this Canaan isn't all it's cracked up to be. I'm content. I'll stay put. But you know, God has called you to a land that he'll show you. We can't lose faith or grow weary. It's a long, tough journey. And hopefully we've all counted the cost of what it costs to follow Jesus. Let's look at Luke 14, verse 26 through 33. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all those who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else why the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Think about this verse, meditate on it, and then answer the question, will I follow Christ? My answer is yes. And this isn't just saying I'm going to say yes to going to church, even though that's a part of it. It's like driving your car. Changing the oil is a part of it, but not the major part. Every blood-bought follower of Jesus Christ here today has something in common. God has called us to follow him to a place we've never been before. He's told us to walk by faith in a radical way. My question to you today, as you settled in Haran, have you given up? There's an English word that started out as a golf term. When you're on a green, making a putt, and your opponent's ball is between your ball and the hole and it obstructs your path. Now, I don't play golf, but I do know enough that you're not allowed to go and kick his ball out of the road. But when you can't get your ball to the hole because of something of your opponent's, it's called being stymied. Stymied is described as a situation or problem presenting such difficulties as to discourage or defeat any attempt to deal with it or resolve it. Many followers of Christ have been stymied at one point or time in their life. They come up against something that they see is just too big of an obstruction. It's just too difficult to try to deal with it or go around it. It's just too difficult to resolve. We start out great, but then we run into a problem. We become stymied, and we just settle for where we're at. We believe God's asking too much of us. He's calling us too far from home or too far away from where we're comfortable. And we don't want to go. Have you gotten tired? Have you got tired of your wilderness today? Have you gotten comfortable where you are in life? Are you settled in Haran? I want you to think about, when was the last time you stayed up late with God just because you love him? When was the last time you gave an offering to God out of love and not just a membership due? How long has it been that you walked by faith and did something just for the sheer joy of it out of following the Lord? For that matter, how long has it been since you felt God calling you to do something? Probably something not prudent in the eyes of men. And while we're talking about prudence, the Bible says a lot about prudence, but also we can go too far. I remember reading it said that prudence can become the mask that we hide behind to keep from accomplishing something. We have to be careful because prudence will keep us where we're at and not allow us to go on to that place that God is revealing to us. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race is set before us." I think, Christians, for all of us, at some point in our lives, we settled for Haran instead of moving on to Canaan. You know, I use this symbolism. I put a little map on the front of your bulletin today just so you'll remember that God is calling us. God is equipping us to do things for Him. We have a human tendency to get comfortable and get complacent. We put concerns about money, marriage, children, houses before the Lord of God, our Lord our God, and our obedience to Him. If God calls us into something, if He calls us to leave something behind, we can have faith. We can trust in Him that it's the best thing for our lives, that He will take care of us. You know, my expectations in life sometime are huge, and God may not fulfill them like I was expecting. I expected at this point in my life I'd be free to take off on my motorcycle and write about the things I see in this country. But that's not what God has for me right now. He's got something different. God has something for you. He's calling you to a land that He'll reveal, He'll show to you. And the only way you're going to find out is first if you pray. And then if you listen. And then you have to act on what God says. You know, it's not hard. We're called to love each other. We're called into obedience. We're called to use the gifts that God give us to further His ministries. We're called to reach out and touch the lost in His name. We're called to bring glory to His name. And we're going to be talking more about reaching out, about evangelism, sharing God and revealing what He's done in our lives. But right now, I'm urging you, don't become complacent. Don't be stymied by whatever you're facing in your life right now. I don't know about you, but I serve a loving God. I serve a huge God that's bigger than anything this world can put in front of you. I serve a God that's greater than Satan, even though Satan would like to tell me otherwise. I have to get up every morning and pray and ask God to lead me for that day, Give me the strength to overcome. Give me the strength to ignore the things that Satan whispers in my ears. He'd like to drag me down and point me down the path of my humanism. But God's always there. God's faithful. He lifts me up. He reassures me and he gives me the strength. He gave me the strength to be here today, just as he did for each and every one of you. Now I know God's poured blessings out into your life. Sometimes we overlook that when we're going through the dry places. But look for those streams in the desert. Let's all stand together. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the examples that you give us in your word. Father, I thank you for the reassurances that I read there every day of your love and your power. Father, thank you so much for your love. I know, Father, we sin and you're just to forgive us. You keep inviting us back. You wait patiently on us as we learn. You wait patiently as we seek to grow in your word and grow stronger. Father, I pray for this body of believers that you will open our hearts and our minds to the lost. And Father, you will begin to lay in our hearts the path that you have for us to reach out. The things that you have for us to do, Father. As you speak to each of us, Father, we'll be unified. We'll be strengthened. We'll feel your love. Father, I pray for this people. I ask for obedience and a willingness to reach out. Father, you alone are worthy to be praised. You alone are worthy to be worshiped. And I do that now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.